Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Danziger.
And I'm Ethan Canfield. And this is The Young Perspective.
So today, everybody, we're discussing one of America's biggest issues, specifically on the far left. It is eco-socialism and the Green New Deal. So what is eco-socialism, Ethan?
So eco-socialism is a political theory that started from the far left and the Green Party that merged aspects of socialism, which we all know about, with that of the Green Party's green politics. So that's everything regarding climate change and helping out the environment. And so the epitome of this is the Green New Deal. And the Green New Deal is a framework that was actually created by the Green Party, and later it was popularized by Democrats like Bernie Sanders and AOC. And it's used to combat the climate crisis, and it's also used to provide some economic relief and stability with socialism. We're going along with this climate crisis solving.
So the goal of eco-socialism is to fix the climate crisis, and the way it's going to do that is through socialism, is through, giving the means of production and the means of distribution back to the government. It's by increasing social programs. But obviously, I don't know a lot about it. Ethan, do you know a lot about it?
No, I know barely anything about it besides, the basics.
So we have invited former presidential candidate and founder of the Green Party, Howie Hawkins. We actually interviewed him in another segment, and we're going to be bringing some of those interview questions into the podcast today and giving some discussion on him. So you're not going to hear the welcoming of Howie Hawkins, but we won't thank him for joining us on today's episode. Cue the first question in the first clip.
Mr. Hawkins, you spoke a little bit about who you are and your history, but can you also talk about your policy, what you run on, what really is in the Green New Deal that you're campaigning on?
Sure. The Green New Deal, our Green New Deal, and we've developed a detailed budget that's on our website, and its goal is 100% clean energy and zero to negative greenhouse gas emissions in a decade. And we call it an eco-socialist Green New Deal because in order to do that in the time frame we're talking about, we got to do what we did during World War II, when the federal government took over a quarter of the manufacturing capacity of the country in order to turn industry on a dime into what they called the arsenal of democracy, to arm the allies against Hitler and Tojo and Mussolini. We need to do the same kind of thing, particularly with public enterprise and planning in the energy, transportation, and manufacturing sectors, to transform all our productive systems in a decade. It's also an economic recovery program because instead of trickle-down economics, where both Biden and Trump had their versions of it, you give extra money to the rich and the corporations, supposedly to incentivize them to create new, factories and offices and so forth and create new jobs. But without demand there, because the economy is depressed, the rich folks take that money and they make financial investments. And they just rearrange and further concentrate who owns the productive assets that we got. Our Green New Deal directly employs people and has the government directly making things to get the resources to where they're needed to get the economy going again.
Now, Mr. Hawkins, many agree that, of course, in the long term, it'll be great for the economy. It'll be great for everybody if we switch to renewables, better for the planet. But what do you say to the people in the short term who are going to lose their jobs, who are going to suffer economically, who are going to have a hard time when we transfer to renewable resources?
There's more jobs in renewable energy than there is in natural gas or oil, by far, by multiples, orders of magnitude. Our eco-socialist Green New Deal budget came up with 38 million new jobs if we implement our program. And we have a just transition, which guarantees up to 5 years wages and benefits for anybody who is displaced by this transition. But there's so many jobs available, it's just going to be a matter of retraining and people can go right back to work. So the jobs argument, I've been dealing with that since the 70s. It's never held up.
Mr. Hawkins has a point. It is true that renewable energy has more jobs than the fossil fuel industry, but switching millions of workers, from one sector to a completely different sector. I mean, they're both energy sectors, but they're completely different lines of work. It's not such an easy feat. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of work, a lot of redistribution.
And time.
There's a lot that goes into this, and that'll cost a lot of money, and that'll also take, you know, that's not something you can do overnight. It takes a lot of years to get rid of this.
And it's still very hard for me to understand, you know, what if you're an immigrant working in an oil field in West Texas and you live paycheck to paycheck, that oil field shuts down, you lose your livelihood. Or if you live in South Carolina and you work on an oil rig 20 miles off the coast, these are good jobs, you know, these are decent paying jobs, but a lot of these people work paycheck to paycheck and they're not as educated as they need to be to get these new jobs in the new green economy. So it's going to be a big challenge to get people educated so they can take advantage of these new jobs in the new sector.
But Howie's whole point is that your jobs aren't sustainable. What's the point of your job if in 10 years your whole city is on fire or underwater? The whole point is that we can't keep doing this with this huge climate crisis on our backs. We have to have some solution. It might not be perfect, but it's better than, you know, the economic fallout that from years to come if we don't solve this problem right now.
And Howie says that the way to solve this problem is socialism. So I guess we should get into that. Now, Mr. Hawkins, you spoke a little bit about how in the Green New Deal, it'll involve the government controlling some of the means of production and some of the means of distribution. And that is the definition of socialism. How do you respond to somebody that says socialism hasn't worked on any other continent in the past 100 years? It didn't work in the USSR. It didn't work in China. China only became prosperous after they opened up to capitalism. What do you say to these people that say it hasn't worked and it won't work in America? People.
None of those countries were socialist. Socialism is economic democracy. They didn't have workers' control of production. They didn't have community control of production. They had a bureaucracy controlling production from the top down. And you really can't have political democracy without the economic democracy of socialism. Because under capitalism, you get a super rich billionaire class, as Bernie Sanders called it. And Bernie wanted to tax them to fund his programs. But if they are still there with their concentrated economic power, that translates into concentrated political power.
Mr. Hawkins is bringing up the point that China and the USSR and nations like them aren't really socialist. And he has a point. As he said, they're bureaucracies. And that's not a real socialism. But he's walking the fine line between socialism and communism.
But still, with socialism's past history, I don't think it could ever pass in America. I don't think democratically the country could ever elect a socialist government. In the second half of the 20th century, our whole goal was to destroy communism. And I think with that in our past, we can't accept socialism. I don't think it's feasible.
That concludes this week's episode of The Young Perspective. Thank you, Mr. Hawkins, for coming on. We really enjoyed interviewing you. And thank you all of you guys for listening. And remember,
this was The Young Perspective.